This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks, it's Rule 76.
And here we are. We've shown up now more than the Giants. October the 18th, 2021. The show is DPHRO and Rothenberg. I mean, week six of the NFL. Not great games yesterday. Certainly the early games were very, very disappointing. But a day of football is still a day of football. And we say good morning on this Monday to a man that actually has reads and will do a little work today. And that is Rick DPHRO. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Good morning. Hey, Santy, play my music, would you please? I'll tell you what, Dave. Here's a song the Giants will not be playing anytime soon. Welcome to our house, which has been a house of horrors for the New York Giants. House of horrors. And I love every second of it. Because I'm not sure if you knew this or not yesterday. So I got the Seahawks who lose, which is good for me because we have the Jamal Adams first-round pick in that deal.
Yeah.
And on top of that, because the Jets win the bye, and we don't have to struggle through watching them, that loss yesterday makes the New York Giants the worst team in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season.
A couple things here. When your barometer is the Giants, as we're so bad, but we're better than the Giants, that doesn't say a lot about you. I wouldn't be wearing that as a badge of honor, as if you're so ultimately proud that you're better than the Giants. Stink. They stink. And I've said it for years now. And here's the thing. I don't know that it's getting any better. It might be getting worse. And this idea that, well, you know, it's a slow build. A slow build to where? To where? Rick, how many guys are on this team that you look at and say are part of the team in 3 years? I'm sure Dave Gettleman behind closed doors is a great guy. Let's break bread. Let's chat about life and history and all sorts of great stuff. As far as a GM is concerned, he is abysmal, awful. Everyone is to blame. Everyone. The head coach, the GM, the players, the ownership, everyone. I feel sorry for me, and I just feel sorry for the fan base at this point. I mean, it's non-competitive. It's almost like you feel dead inside watching this team. I don't even know what to say here.
Well, it doesn't help, too. I mean, you saw a great first quarter. I mean, actually, for me watching that game, I mean, you sit down, real positive start. Right? I mean, you get the holding penalty because for some reason, you know, Board decides to take it out of the end zone. You overcome that. You had the sack fumble. You end up recovering that. You go all the way down the field. I mean, the Giants are the first team this season to score on an opening drive against that defense.
Yep.
So positive. And then all of a sudden, Leonard Williams decides he wants to show up. Had a really good first quarter. And then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, wheels fall off. Just under 5 minutes left in that first half. I mean, that was the nail in the coffin, right? I mean, they score 14 to make it 28-3 going into half. I mean, that last touchdown, 73 yards in a minute and 41 seconds. And then from that point on, I mean, could it get worse? Yeah, it got worse in the second half because they didn't show up out of
nope.
the locker room.
They quit. And then, and you got to listen to this because as a Giants fan, and you know, it's embarrassing at this point. And we could almost replay. We should take Mondays off because we could just play the same show over and over and just have like them dub the different team. It's embarrassing against the Cowboys. It's embarrassing against the Rams. You know, I'll just do it this week. Like, we'll make it generic. We'll say the Giants didn't play well. The defense didn't show up. Daniel Jones turns the ball over. There's a lot of injuries. Gettleman is bad. I'll say the Panthers, and we'll dial in at 6 o'clock next Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I would much rather get your in the heat of the moment reaction like today or yesterday during the chat where you were nasty to poor Ray Santiago.
No, because Santiago's a jerk. I am so done with you can't go anywhere on social media. Seriously. So I mean,
what did I do?
I'm sick of it. I was so good, and I bit my tongue and I said nothing until that's the defensive player of the year. The guy got run over like a truck earlier in the game when Damian Harris ripped one off for like 19 yards. So sick and tired of your, and I'll say it at this point, act sick and tired of it.
I don't understand. I was just playing along in the conversation
it's
we
old,
had last
it's
week.
It's old. It's tired. No, because you always year. Take shots. And all said, I want, and I don't know if I knew things. How. If I knew how to get out of a group chat, I would be out of that group chat.
No, you can't.
I don't know if I can mute it. I don't know what I'm. I hate that group chat. I would rather take my toenail out by the hole than be in that group chat. I hate that group chat on Sundays. I hate it. I try to be a good sport. Here we go. Oh, God. Here we go again. And then the one that it sent me over the top yesterday. That's the defensive one, player of the year.
That's the one that sets you over the
over
top.
Over the top. And I'm biting my tongue. Oh, look at this. Oh, the Jets are better. Oh, the Giants aren't that. Oh, look at this. Oh, the Rams. Oh, they don't show up. What an embarrassment. And I say nothing. And I'm everything within my power. And then I'm watching the Cowboys and Dak fumbles the ball away and Dak gets intercepted. Like, you know what? Say nothing. Just say nothing. Just be quiet. And then a guy who gets a deflect. He's beaten on the play. The ball's poorly thrown. He picks it off, takes it for a touchdown. And then that's my defensive player of the year. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't. Then I'm on Twitter. That's the defensive player of the year. And I lost it. I lost it. All right, and then the next play, the guy gets abused like he had no vision. I mean, abused. And then this guy, clearly there was a miscommunication in the coverage. Maybe he's just not as good as you think he is.
No, he's good.
He's good.
No, he's good. That was on the safety.
That was on the safety, Dave.
Of course it was.
It should have been an interception. I mean, he let off because he thought the safety was going to intercept it.
Of course. Yeah,
listen,
you know what?
Seriously, we can continue that conversation later.
I don't know who started the group chat. Get me out of the group chat, please.
You can't. That Santiago happening. Does not have an iPhone. You can't eliminate yourself.
Even if I did.
Of course he doesn't.
You could.
If there was one person on the group chat who wouldn't have an iPhone, it's Santiago.
I won't be part of your cult. I'm sorry.
Of course. God, I mean, I've never, he might be the most annoying person I've ever met in my entire life on football Sundays.
Oh my God.
I mean, really.
Very hurtful.
Honestly.
I still can't believe he was quiet the entire game. Quiet. We were going back and forth. He's quiet. And then it was just that one text message. There's the defensive player of the year that just sent him.
I couldn't because I can't believe him anymore. He's so annoying.
We can't even repeat the things that were said in this chat. The horrible, vile things. I was saying in the pre-show meeting that if I got hit by an 18-wheeler on the way to work today, you'd probably say, good, he deserved it.
I would never root for it, but there is something called karma, and I hate to be.
How
I'm not.
Karma?
I will not be walking close to you in dangerous situations.
Oh,
under scaffolding,
God.
On the streets where dangerous people are around, I'm not going anywhere near you.
I was going to actually offer to do your reads today because you'd be in a bad spot, but now I don't know.
No, I'll do them because I'm the pro that I am. I'll do them beautifully, is what I'll do.
Second half of the show, you'll quit. I can guarantee it.
Well, you know what? Wouldn't be anything different than what I saw from my team yesterday. And then to make matters worse, then I have to tune into the post game and hear sound bites from Joe Judge. You're going to lose your mind, people, if you haven't heard this. Here's Joe Judge with his message to the football team.
Yeah, we'll come back. We're going to work. We got things to improve on. So we come back on Wednesday. You know, it's time to get going to work. You know, get your bodies right, get your minds right. You know, we'll come around. We're going to look at wounds around here. There's a lot of ball left to be played. Our goal every week is to go 1-0. Our goal is to get better every week as a team, as the season progresses. That goal doesn't change. And you talk about the big picture. Yeah, the big picture is the little picture. It's next week. The big picture is how we handle next week. How we practice, how we improve, how we prepare, and how we come out and we execute. So that's our focus has to be as immediate 7 days from now. We've got 7 days to get ready for another good opponent coming in here. And that's where our focus has to be.
I'm sick and tired of it. This is coach speak to the highest level. You're getting worse. Our goal is to get better as the week goes on. You're getting worse. Your team quit on you. It's unwatchable. There's nobody left in the fourth quarter of these games. It's like a high school game with the amount of people, and he has the same rhetoric every single week.
Well, I mean, also, you've been ravaged by injuries, too, right? We'll play a fun game here in one of these segments. Can Dave Rothenberg guess who was on the field for the New York Giants offense? It's going to be a fun game. Listen, I love you like a brother, and I think no one knows more about the Giants than you. You're going to have a hard time with this game.
Probably so. I think so.
You know what the other thing, too, is? And it drove me crazy when I watched it. Couple things. All right, here's the first one. I said all week, if I was the Giants, I would protect Daniel Jones. I wouldn't play him. Did Daniel Jones look right to you yesterday?
No.
Okay, was Daniel Jones an option to run the ball, to use his legs? Except for that ridiculous quarterback. You got a friggin' fullback, and you got Devontae Booker, and you're doing a quarterback sneak with the guy just coming out of concussion protocol.
They did multiple quarterback sneaks with him.
What are we doing? It's ridiculous. So what did we talk about at the end of last week? And then what Dan Orlovsky, I mean, he cemented it after I said it. If Daniel Jones doesn't use his legs, he is not a very good quarterback. So if he's not an option to use his legs, and you're going up against the Los Angeles Rams defense, where, I mean, there were times during that game that the whole defensive line was just meeting at the quarterback. I mean, it doesn't help that this is the sixth different offensive line combination you've had in 6 weeks.
Well, but don't worry. Gettleman's going to fix it. Have no fear.
Well, he hasn't
fixed it. Mollies are here.
Well, he hasn't fixed it. And then as soon as Kadarius Toney leaves that game, the offense was huge. I mean, that's the one bright spot. That dude is special. But he leaves with the ankle, and it was...
And apparently, he wasn't right in warm-ups either.
He was slipping around in warm-ups.
Yeah, they said that he wasn't right in warm-ups. But let's just play him anyway.
How many red zone touchdowns do you think Daniel Jones has thrown this year?
One.
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, zero. They're the worst red zone team in the NFL right now.
They're lousy. They're bad from top to bottom.
Dave, we thought the Jets were bad, right? Like, we spent so much time focused on the Jets and how bad they are, you know, awful starts or whatever else. The Giants have scored 13 points combined in the first quarter in 6 weeks. 13 points. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of football games like that.
Well, they don't. And
getting behind early like that.
And I think you have to now start. And I know we've been like, well, Judge is going to escape through. I don't know. I mean, if your ownership and you, I mean, you talk about a recipe of disaster yesterday. You're honoring a great franchise, right? You're honoring a team that went on this epic run and won a Super Bowl 10 years ago, and nobody even cares. I mean, the fan base, I was sent a photo of what it was at halftime, the amount of people in the stands. Nobody cared. Everyone was inside. People are so turned off. You don't like the coach. There's like two guys that you like on this team right now. The GM has to be gone. The whole thing is a disaster. It starts from the top all the way down. I don't even know. I said it to start the show. They're getting worse. You know, we're now 4 years into the Gettleman regime. They might be a worse team right now than they were when he started.
Yeah, but it started before that. It did. I'll never forget. I mean, we had Canty on. When Canty and I started doing the show together, it was me. Canty was actually a guest. He was in Baltimore. He would come on with me and Alan. And then eventually, you know, after he retired, he joined the show. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. He went over to the Giants practice facility and watched practice. And he said, for some reason, he steps into the building and everything felt different. It didn't feel like the Giants he played on. That whatever it was, culture, whatever word you want to call it, it wasn't there anymore. And, I mean, even go back to Jerry Reese. Forget Dave Gettleman. I mean, when you don't draft well and you don't have, you know what I mean? Like, and there's so many changes, you know, with head coaches, transitioning to Dave Gettleman. Like, there's no stability. There's no continuity. I mean, you don't draft well. Now, all of a sudden, like, who's carrying on the traditions? Nobody.
Nope. Because
nobody's around long enough. I mean, it's a mess, man.
This team since
2017 has been awful. What do you expect the fans to do? Sit around?
No, I don't blame the fans. I don't blame the fans whatsoever.
You've been outscored 82-38 at home. 82-38 at home. Who wants to sit and watch that?
Nobody. And you know what? If there's 50,000 people next Sunday, they deserve it. I don't blame the fans at all. This has been years, Rick. Years.
You've won 19
football.
Games since 2017. 19.
Every Giants fan looks back at the 70s. Right. Oh, God, it was so bad, and they were so horrendous. I don't know that it was any worse than this.
No, this is brutal, man. It really is, and you're right. I mean, it's probably only going to get worse. because, and I've been around coaches like Joe Judge. If they don't have winning to back up their message, does not play well in the locker room at all.
But these post game press conferences of one game at a time, and we're going to dig in now, we're going to fight it. Enough. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, that's who he is, man. I mean, he comes from Saban. He comes from Belichick. Do you think that Belichick, like, listening to some of the former players that aren't real, like, that aren't Patriots for life, that just drank the Kool-Aid right away, he's the one that gave them their shot, so he's, you know, that player's indebted to him. That's what Bill Belichick, that's the secret sauce, just so everyone knows. That's the secret sauce to Bill Belichick, is giving guys opportunities, they have success, and now they feel like they're indebted to him, so they buy into everything he says. Like, Darrelle Revis the other day, I'm listening to him, and one of the guys was like, I think Brandon Marshall was like, your guy Bill Belichick, and Revis was like, that's not my guy. You think players want to deal with a coach like that if there's no, like, if there's no winning to come with
no.
it?
I don't know if they like it when there's guys that don't want to deal with it when they're winning.
But you'll tolerate it because you're winning.
That's right.
And usually when you're winning means, you know, you're playing well, you're going to get paid well. So if I don't have the winning to back up his message, which as a fan you're getting sick of. Can you imagine being in the locker room every day with
that? Digital tough guy.
Yeah, you probably roll your eyes. So we have a lot going on today. Rex Ryan at 7:35. We have Around the League at 6:45. The Frenzy at 7:15. We're going to take a lot of Giants calls. I envied you yesterday. I'm like, this lucky SOB, he doesn't have to watch his team. Wow. That's what it is. That's how bad it is that your team doesn't play. And I'm like, man, how fortunate you are that you don't have to watch your team play. That's where I am as a Giants fan.
I got to be honest, it felt good too.
I'm sure.
Oh, like I made cleansing. That chicken salad on the everything flagel with the pea soup. Oh,
probably like a cleansing, like a colonic. A football colonic is what you had yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting the chance to watch, you know, football Sunday with the Jets on a bye is like a football colonic. So, I mean, I got to take the small wins. Seattle loses, which is a small win. And now, mm-hmm. I mean, for the moment, the Jets don't have the worst record in the league since 2017. The little things, Dave.
The little things.
Mets stunk, right? Jets stink. Islanders off to a bad start. Like, I don't even know if he can play Chara anymore. Love the guy, but, I mean, he's, to say slow was probably an understatement. And now, I mean, what else do I have?
You don't have a lot.
I got the Knicks to look forward to.
That's right. Wednesday night, the Knicks and the Celtics right here on 98.7 ESPN. Very exciting.
That Quentin Grimes looks like a good player too, man.
That would be nice.
I'm excited about this team.
I don't know how you couldn't be. We'll get to the Knicks as the week rolls along. But the Giants are the topic of the day. And, oh, what great conversation we're going to have. Let's take a listen to some more Joe Judge. Wanted to see some effort from this team regardless of the scoreboard.
Yeah, you know what? I challenge the guys at halftime. I want to see who's going to finish the game. I want to see what kind of fight some of these guys had. We'll go through the tape, but there are some guys I could see with the eye test right away. There are some guys that fought and finished right there, and that's how we're going to do things around here. So we're going to compete for 60. We got to do some things technically better, fundamentally better, better calls at times, but I want to see who's going to finish this game, who's going to fight.
I can't listen anymore.
You challenged them at halftime. Did you see what happened when they came out of halftime?
Yeah, they came out and took a knee.
Took a knee? I mean, the Giants had one possession in the third quarter because the Rams had the ball for 9 minutes and 15 seconds on their first possession.
Up and down the field. Up and down the field. Stafford did whatever he wanted to do yesterday in that game. Anything. Darrell Henderson took your manhood. And you're going to sit here and talk about, I'm going to challenge guys or we're going to see who responds? No one responds. Nobody.
I was telling the guys yesterday, you know how like during all these games I take notes on the games just so I don't forget stuff?
What do you mean you were telling them yesterday? When was this, like a private
excuse me.
Group chat?
No, I was telling them during during one of the breaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've already fast-forwarded to tomorrow. So I was telling the guys, as I'm sitting there during the first possession, writing, the Rams are now running the ball down the Giants' throat. Schlereth is like, wow, this is demoralizing.
Yeah,
when you know exactly what they're going to do.
He said this is worse than like a big play home run.
Yes.
Because they're just going like 5 yards, 8 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards. And you know what they're going to do and you can't stop it. And now he's sitting there saying, well, we're going to compete all the way for 60 minutes. I mean, stop it.
No, but you didn't. I mean, you didn't. And I mean, the progress that you made the last couple weeks, I mean, the 2 weeks leading into this game, offensive line didn't allow a sack. You know, Daniel Jones had only turned the ball over twice. All that gone. I mean, 3 turnovers in the first half. I mean, the Rams had, what, 21 points off the Giants turnovers yesterday?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there was nothing good to take out of that game.
Nothing good to take out of the game, but this is where they are. I bet you there's not a Giants fan listening right now that if I said at the end of the season they're going to completely clean house, that would take objection with that right now.
How many times? We've actually had conversations on the show where you have to settle me down because I get so aggravated that pass interference is called and the ball is clearly not catchable. It happened twice yesterday. Twice! Where there were defensive pass interferences that you know, flags were thrown,
yep.
And then the referees come together like, nah, there was no chance he could catch that.
No, it wasn't even close. Sorry, we'd love to give you the flag, but we just can't. It was so, you know, it was on a different field. This is what they are.
I don't understand why you play him in that game, and then you keep him in for the entire game.
Oh, my 11-year-old is like, why is he still in the game? Down the stretch, throwing over and over. And then you get the announcers. These are very important moments here. Very important moments. Oh, yeah. This is vital.
He's got to build chemistry.
That's what they were saying. because the points 4 through 11 will really change the future of the Giants.
Daniel Jones probably did not sleep well last night, I can guarantee it. I'm hoping he gorged himself on fast food and then
I hope Burger King and McDonald's.
Yeah, and then thought about what happened. But he'll have Taylor Rapp nightmares for the whole week. Because he was just, I mean, just knew exactly what Daniel Jones was going to do before he did it.
At least the offensive line is fixed. Let's take a listen to Daniel Jones. what do you think of the boos yesterday?
What did I think of it? Yeah, they're upset. We didn't play well. We're certainly upset about that, too. So, I get it.
Great. No, this is just wonderful. Let's go.
What do you want him to do, though? That's the thing. I don't want to make excuses for the kid. I don't think he should have been playing in the first place yesterday. But it's like, you know, I hear people on Twitter and everything else, well, Daniel Jones needs to learn to get rid of the ball. He can't hold it. Well, I mean, do you see who's playing receiver for him? You think guys are open? Like, how quickly do you think these receivers are getting open? Or how fast... Does Matt Peart get beat off the line? Or Nate Solder get beat off the line?
Nate Solder should not have come back.
And Evan Engram drives me nuts. Nuts. The level of talent that kid has, not to be a dominant tight end.
You have to move on.
Is a problem.
Here's what you have to do. And this is why I think I would move on from Gettleman now. Not just to make a statement. Put someone that you have some semblance of trust in to at least do the right thing as this year moves on before the trade deadline. Like Evan Engram and anybody else that you might want off this roster that has any semblance of value, you have to trade them. You're not going anywhere. So what are we going to hang on to Engram? Hang on to guys that have no business being here into next season?
Yeah, but who are you going to trust to do that, though?
That's my point.
Joe Judge? Who are you going to trust?
I don't know.
See, the Giants are in a weird spot because what you want now is you want some stability. You would like, you know, some continuity because they haven't had it. I mean, McAdoo and then Shermer, and yep. Now you got Joe Judge. I mean, you can't have a new coach every 2 years. You can't.
You might.
It's not a recipe for success.
It's not a recipe for success, but what are you supposed to do? I mean, if you go 3-14 this year, how could and you look like that, how can you bring him back?
Well, I don't think you can. But now all of a sudden you're back to square one.
Maybe even in worse shape than square one.
I mean, it goes back to the conversation we were having last week. Unless, you know, whoever you bring in feels like there's enough talent or they can add enough talent where the addition of like a Russell Wilson or something could make all the difference.
Well, I think Russell Wilson makes a difference regardless of how talented you are. But how talented are they? What guys on this roster?
I mean, how talented are the Seahawks?
What?
How talented are the Seahawks? Look at both rosters and tell me, how much more talented the Seahawks are than...
I mean, they have a couple of really good receivers.
Are those receivers, I mean, is Tyler Lockett because such a good receiver because Russell Wilson's such a good quarterback? I mean, DK Metcalf is a freak of nature, but their offensive line has been trashed to the point where he was going to retire. You know, he wanted to be traded because he's getting hit too much.
And still does. Yeah, no, listen, I don't think the Seahawks are... But he's great. But I would still say the Seahawks are a better roster. I think the Giants are bad, like really, really bad. Their roster is awful. And they have guys that you look at with name value that don't play well. And therein lies a problem as well.
It feels like the Yankees is what it feels like.
Yeah, but come on. At least the Yankees have moments of greatness.
No, listen. I'm just saying, as far as we knew going into the season, depending on who you asked, you had the owner come out. And no owner likes to get in front of a microphone and answer questions when his team stinks. And he said, this has been embarrassing. We need to be playing meaningful football late into the season. Right? And then you had experts look at this roster and say, okay, the addition of Dory Jackson, you have McKinney healthy, defense should be better. They were really good last year. Big surprise. I think this team can compete to win the NFC East. So there was, I mean, on paper, there was talent, right? I mean, Leonard Williams coming off a really good season. Like, there was talent. And then you had Kenny Golladay and Saquon's coming back. But you're right. I mean, you know the names. You know that there's talent there. They're just not playing well. Like, James Bradbury is not playing well.
Nope.
At all.
Nope. They're bad.
Like, up until, I mean, yesterday in the first couple of possessions, Leonard Williams has been a non-factor this season. Right? Like, he hasn't been great.
And look at how you got him. You traded for him. You traded for a guy you could have had as a free agent. I mean, almost every move this guy has made. So it goes, I mean, this is special. Right? You need to be really bad as an entire organization to be this egregious, this poor for so long.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rex Ryan, I have a feeling he's going to have some choice words for Joe Judge today, don't you think?
Joey Tough Guy?
Joey Tough Guy?
I would imagine, yeah.
We're going to go around the league. Around the league in a couple minutes, which will be a treat to not talk Giants for a few minutes. But I know there's something that's burning a hole in your pocket. Are you ready to do that now? Do you want to take a couple calls and then do the little Giants game show? What do you want to do?
I want to take a couple calls. We haven't heard from enough Giants fans so far.
All right, let's go to Jake in South Brunswick. Jake, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
Just a quick question. I've been calling through the season, and I've been talking about Jason Garrett, and I've been talking about this, but when did it, I know it's the middle of the year, when did it become time to just relieve Dave Gettleman of his duties?
I don't know what good it does now to, I don't think that's the Giants is something that they want to do.
What do you trust him to, I mean, the trade deadline is, I think, November 2nd, right?
Yeah, but who are you going to trust to make that decision anyway, though?
Well, do you want Gettleman to be the guy, knowing that he's not going to be here?
Well, how many people in that front office, when you fire Dave Gettleman, are still going to be here?
And therein lies
outside
the problem.
Of Chris Mara, who I don't think that you want him making the decisions.
No, I don't know what the answer is. But if you know you're not going to be here for the future, why would you possibly trade Evan Engram?
Well, why would you trade Evan Engram? Because you don't feel like moving forward that he's going to be a piece of your future.
But if you right. But my point is, if you're Dave Gettleman and you do an honest assessment, I'm not going to be here next year. There's no way they're going to keep me. I stink. So why would I trade Evan Engram for prospects or for a fourth round pick when I can hang on to him now and at least he makes me a little bit better?
Well, no. Here's the thing: Dave Gettleman is not going to get another job once he leaves.
No.
This current job. So what happens is, hey, Dave, we're not going to fire you because we don't want to embarrass you like that, but you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do. So come trade deadline, if someone picks up the phone and calls for Evan Engram, you say to him, hey, listen, we're going to try to make this job as attractive as possible for the next GM. And having as many draft picks as we can get moving forward, we feel like would help us make this job more attractive. So find us the best deal on whoever the player is, and we're going to start making those deals.
What do they have? They have 2 1s, 2 3s, and 2 4s, right?
They're loaded, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a question of hitting on those picks.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you get a million picks. If you can't turn them successful, it doesn't matter what you have. Let's go to Floyd in Harlem. Morning, Floyd.
Good morning. I just want to say that 3 years that the quarterback has been there, I really don't think that he's accomplished anything. I think he make a good secondary quarterback. And
What is a secondary quarterback?
He means a backup. A good backup is what he means.
A good backup? Yeah, I think he'd be a phenomenal backup quarterback.
No, he needs to be a backup quarterback. He make a good backup quarterback because he's still in the learning process. They need somebody with some experience, like a Cam Newton or somebody.
Oh, stop it.
But the defense is terrible. The secondary. That's what I meant to say. The secondary defense is terrible.
The team.
Here's the problem, though. I mean, let's face it. The problem is, I mean, and I keep asking the question, and no one has an answer for it. What do they do well? They don't do anything well.
No.
They have no real identity, and they don't play complementary football. Right? Like, I mean, they can't run the ball very well. They don't score in the red zone.
They're a bad team.
They don't put pressure on the quarterback. Their secondary's not very good. I mean, you name it. It's tough to win football games like that.
But he says the secondary is terrible? No. Yeah, yes, but no. The team is terrible. The team is awful. They don't do anything well. They don't have more than a handful of players that you look at and you say, we can build around him. We want him here. They're just bad from almost top to bottom. They're just bad. All right, what do you have here? I'll let you take the reins because I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but have at it.
All right, give me some game show music, please. So our friend Jordan Renan. Dun, 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 Jordan Run-On,
yeah.
Friend of the show. Very active on Twitter, which we all appreciate as you're watching the game. He's got the bird's eye view, almost the all 22, if you will. So he was tweeting yesterday, David, here's the game. I'm going to tell you a certain point in the Giants game yesterday,
okay.
And you need to tell me who was on the field offensively for the New York Giants. Offensive side of the ball. This is when they're on offense.
Well, I need to remember who is at the on the field at certain points of the game.
You need to try to remember who was on the offensive line. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Score is 28-3. Right about the time the Rams said, you know what, enough fooling around with this team. Time to kick it into high gear. Can you tell me who was on the offensive line at that point of the game?
I mean, I'm going to be terrible at this. I have no idea.
Well, start with what you know.
Will Hernandez.
At this point, Andrew Thomas is out.
Right. Will Hernandez.
Will Hernandez is one.
Matt Peart.
Matt Peart is one. He was playing left tackle.
Okay. Nate Solder.
Nate Solder. Playing right tackle. Can you get the left guard? That's the real question. Can you get the left guard?
That's the real one here?
That's the real one.
I don't think so. The left guard.
And Matt Peart is not good at left tackle, by the way. I think that
you
was clear yesterday.
Was Wes Martin at left
Wes
guard?
Wes Martin, congratulations. Uh-huh. Wes Martin was the left guard.
Thank you. This is not a badge of honor I'm looking to wear, by the way.
And the center at the time, last name involved in one of Ray Santiago's favorite game shows.
Billy Price.
Billy Price.
Yeah.
Wide receivers at the time, Dante Pettis and Colin Johnson.
Woo.
All right, last one. Game is 38-3. Now it gets hard. I got Daniel Jones at quarterback, Devontae Booker at running back. Can you tell me who's on the offensive line at this point?
Huh. Did Corey Cunningham make an appearance?
God, you're so good. Corey Cunningham at right tackle. Well done, David.
Oh, thank you.
So you had Corey Cunningham at right tackle, Will Hernandez at right guard, Billy Price center, Wes Martin left guard, Matt Peart left tackle, Pettis, Shepard, and Colin Johnson.
Whoa, baby.
That
Corey
is fireworks.
Cunningham from the University of Cincinnati, by the way.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
Whew.
And you wonder why they were such an offensive juggernaut yesterday. Really good stuff.
Once Tony left the game, too, that first drive was actually promising.
Yeah.
And that was the first points the Rams have given up on the first drive all season.
He's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. He already is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he get the ball in his hands. He's a freak show.
Dynamic. I'm excited about him and Andrew Thomas. And after that, it's few and far between.
Andrew Thomas makes me nervous right now, though.
Because he's not healthy.
Well, this is trending towards being a lost season for Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, which would be a second lost season. But is it fair to say when he's healthy, he's good?
Yeah, he's good. My only concern is that his size dealing with an ankle, I don't know how healthy he's going to be.
Which is a problem. Which
and you see what happens.
Problem.
I mean, they're shuffling. I mean, sold the lead. I mean, that's just, there's too much shuffling around
lot
on
of
that
shuffles.
Offensive line.
A lot of shuffling. And you know what? They don't have the depth. And that's why they were so desperate. And I mean, the thing that stinks is this is the, when he sat down in his introductory press conference, the one thing we're going to fix is the offensive line. It is 4 years in. It might be worse now than it was when he started.
Well, I mean, you had a feeling before the season even started, though, with all the, last minute shuffling they were doing.
When you're at Baltimore, we need a guy. you know, Cincinnati will trade you this guy for Billy Price, who you look at as a failure, but we can find a way. No, it's terrible. Terrible. Let's quickly go to Kenny in Jersey, and then we'll go around the league. Kenny, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave and Rick. And I'm not going to ask you how you're doing this morning because I know you're down. But you know, you're a Knicks fan and a Mets fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you should have a little bit more strength right now because you should be used to all the losing. I am, you know, with the Mets and the Knicks. I mean, we got the Knicks now. They're winning some ball games, so maybe we can, you know, put our focus into the Knicks. You know, even though I'm a Cowboy, I'm not going to throw that in your face this morning.
Oh, God.
You know, just,
so, you know,
congratulations.
Big
win.
To do that.
Big win for the Cowboys.
You know what? You know what you are? You're one. Be honest. Blink twice. You're one of Santiago's people, aren't you?
Nah, I'm not.
Cowboy Nation now.
He is. He is.
You don't know who I am.
I'm telling you.
I've been talking to you for years.
Yeah, and now I know why. He's a plant. He's a mole. It's like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. That's what this is. This guy is a Santiago protege.
That's so funny, Dave. That's so funny. Hey, look, one point I wanted to make real quick. Besides the Cowboys, that Arizona team looked dangerous. That Murray, he is really good, man. And I'm surprised because I thought he would be too small.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. I love watching Marcus Golden just wreak havoc on the Browns' offensive line yesterday.
At least just give yourselves a chance to compete in these games.
No, they can't.
That's the most disappointing thing.
They're just lousy. All right, you know what? This is fun. You want to go around the league?
Yes.
Oh, let's do that.
It's time to go around the league.
Now, the Giants stink, and nobody will make an excuse about it. They're just a bad football team. But, my God, is there a more disappointing unit in all the NFL than Washington's defense? Well, maybe their PR staff and their ownership.
Is there a more disappointing organization in all of professional sports than the Washington football team?
God, I mean, that defense we all thought was going to – remember, like, it clearly top five. Will it be elite? Will it be like a 2000 Ravens? Could it be an 85 Bears? You can, I mean, if you want to fix your woes offensively, just go up against Washington and you'll have 500 yards of offense.
I mean, there's first round picks all over that defensive line, too. All over that defensive line. Kansas City's got to stop turning the ball over, though, man.
They slept walk through the first half, too.
Yeah, they're brutal. Like, I mean, the one goes through Tyreek Hill's hands, and then the other one, there's no excuse. Like, Pat Mahomes needs to know better than that. Because their defense is not good.
No.
They were pretty good yesterday,
but they are.
It's Taylor Heineke, man. Stop, please.
Come on. If I would have told you Washington's going to score 13 points, you would not have believed that.
Great interception, though, by the way. Defensive lineman trapping it on the guy's helmet. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Here's Patrick Mahomes. Teammates encouraged him to keep it moving forward despite the turnovers.
I think the biggest thing was the guys kept believing in me. I think that was a big thing to me. I mean, Orlando, Travis, Tyreek, all those guys came right up to me and they're like, you keep being you. Like, we know you're competing. We know who you are. Don't let that one thing affect how you play. And you saw it in the second half. I kept doing stuff, kept throwing across my body and doing all that different type of stuff because I know those guys believe in me and I'm going to keep being that and keep fighting to the end.
Of course they believe in him. He's the best player in the world.
Yeah, but at a certain point, like, we get it. You're super talented. I mean, you gotta learn you can't make mistakes like that. Like, you're not going to always be like, they're trying to win a championship. They're going to bounce back against good teams making mistakes like that.
I will tell you this, that team is not winning a championship.
Not if they keep turning the ball over the way they turn the ball over.
Their defense is not good enough, and there's better teams in the AFC than they are right now. I thought the Lions would keep it close yesterday because they have all year long, but they got crushed at the hands of Cincinnati, who very easily, if the field goal kicker had his way, in fact, would be 5-1 right now because he thought that kick was good last week against Green Bay. But Cincinnati's a pretty decent football team right now, and Joe Burrow's a special quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's special. Jamar Chase is a stud. T. Higgins, I mean, they got a bunch of different weapons. And, I mean, you heard Dan Campbell after the game. He was crying last week. And after this loss, he came out and said, Jared Goff, he has to do more.
Yep. And here is Dan Campbell. No crying, but not thrilled with his quarterback.
I don't feel like we can accurately judge him one way or another. I don't feel that way yet. Now, I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. I think he needs to help us, just like everybody else. I think he's going to need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things. But he needs help. He needs help.
I like that he called out the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why they brought him in, though. Right? I mean, the whole reason they made that deal, like, LA made that deal was because they were trying to They were trying to dump Jared Goff. And Detroit, who's clearly rebuilding, wanted at least to have somebody that could be a decent professional quarterback.
Right.
So they could try to win some games.
Yes.
Because you want to try to win some games. I mean, that's important. When you're trying to build a culture, you got to, I mean, there has to be wins to support it. And that's, I mean, this team, I mean, they fought their butts off. Yesterday was not an example of that.
No, it was not. What's the Thanksgiving game at 12:30? Please tell me it's not Lions and Bears.
Isn't it always the Lions?
Is that always? I know it's always Lions, but no, it's not always Bears though. Because last year,
no,
I think
but it's always the Lions.
It's Lions Bears at 12:30 on Thanksgiving Day.
So there's your nap. Have hors d'oeuvres around noon.
We don't typically eat that early though.
No, I said hors d'oeuvres. Have the hors d'oeuvres ready at noon, and then give yourself a little nap, a little shut eye to get yourself prepared for the actual meal.
Who's Dallas playing at 4:30? Please tell me that's
you're
a
not
good team.
Basting turkeys or anything?
Raiders. Oh, and Bills Saints at night. All right, so it gets better as the day goes on.
Not really, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, if the Saints had Drew Brees as the quarterback, I'd be like, yeah, this is going to be great.
Well, you're starting with the Bears Lions. So the Bills
get
Saints,
better. I get what you're saying, but it's not a great slate of games.
It's not a great slate of games, but you know, listen, I mean, who knows what the Raiders will be? They can move the football a little bit. I mean, I don't think they can compete with the old world quarterback that is Trayvon Diggs, but I think they'll move the football a little bit in that game.
Yeah, I don't trust them. Huge win for them. I give them credit.
Yep.
Good for Rich Bisaccia too. I mean, he's been an assistant coach for like 30 years.
He's a Westchester kid.
Good on him.
Yeah, really
I was happy
good
for
on him. Mike McCarthy. I mean, you know what? And this is sincere, and this is not me not liking the Cowboys. You know I don't, but I almost feel like they're winning in spite of Mike McCarthy. Is that a crazy take?
Did you see the one tweet last night?
Was it Santiago?
No. You think it's possible that Dallas to have the same setup as Arizona, where they can coach without a head coach?
So you agree with me, right? Like he's, I don't know, man. Kellen
why
Moore,
is he not
excellent.
Going for it there? I don't understand why. I mean, it's fourth and less than a yard. What are you doing? Like you choose to kick the field goal. I don't.
His decision making.
He doesn't make much sense.
It is bizarre.
They're winning in spite of him.
Right. Okay, so good. So you do agree. This is not me being angry anti-Cowboys guy. This is I legitimately just don't think he's all that good. I'm very underwhelmed. But that's a good team, and Prescott's playing well, and their offensive line is just, they really are phenomenal. The running backs, all the receivers, they're so, so talented. And here's Mike McCarthy saying, great win for us yesterday in New England.
Probably as fine as a complimentary win we've had in my time here. The offense was extremely productive, throughout the day. You know, defense had some great runs there, you know, the takeaways. And the special teams obviously had some big plays in the return game and the block punt. But I've always felt that, you know, overtime wins, close wins at the end of the game, these are games you can really build off of. We also, talked offensively throughout the week. To play against this defense, your third, fourth, fifth options, we're going to have to come up big. And I thought Dak did a tremendous job distributing the ball today.
That's a good team. Dak's a good quarterback.
They're good.
I know for Santiago, the fear is to fully commit to this team is Mike McCarthy. That's his biggest fear.
No. Santi, you got to be all in on this team now.
No.
Super Bowl or bust.
McCarthy's going to cost us a game. I can only hope it's not in the playoffs. He's going to cost us a game.
For the love of God, make him have one of these where he doesn't see the clock or the sun is in his eyes and he can't see what's going on.
He's been doing this for 15 years and he still doesn't have game management down.
He's brutal at it. For the love of God, let that happen.
And he spent the whole time he was off with analytics fellas and everything else, just breaking down old game plans and everything else.
Round one at the Rams, and they just somehow mess up clock management. And then to have to listen to you all offseason would be so
great. They're going
to
win the division, right? They're going to be at home for their first playoff game.
So you're home, so you could be the four and play the five, though, right?
They're not going to be the four, though. Come on.
Well, you say that. But Tampa already has a tiebreaker against them. Arizona's undefeated. Green Bay could have a better record. They could be the four.
Okay, but they would. At no point will they be at L.A. if Arizona's going to win that division.
Ignore him, Ray. He's trying to rain on your parade. You had a big win. Don't let him rain on your parade. He's trying to be a wet blanket right now.
All I know, I will say this, is when they lose, I will be there with my social media team, and we will, as a unit, be all over you.
May you have the same effect that you did on the Eagles and Carson Wentz. Go ahead, Rick.
Mark this down, please. I want you to cut this. What is today?
October 18th.
6:56 in the morning. Ray, I promise you that if your Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl, I will, with you, Take a ride to Dave's palatial estate. We will rent two horses, dress up as cowboys. I'll be wearing assless chaps, and we will parade up and down Dave Street.
I'm down.
I swear on my life that I will call the police and say something terrible has happened here in Westchester. Get the police here immediately. And when they arrest you and they say, do you want to press charges? I'm going to say all of them. Every charge, I want to press it. Every single one.
The police going to be able to track me and Ray down on our trusty
speed? Yes.
No chance.
You know what I'll do? I'll dangle carrots and I'll have you guys go off a cliff somewhere nearby.
Where do you have cliffs nearby in Westchester?
Oh, well, there's cliffs, baby. It's mountainous. Aaron Rodgers has some words for the Chicago Bears. I love it. I love Aaron Rodgers. He does.
He does own them.
He does. Never loses to them.
No, I think he's, 20-5 in Chicago? I'm not sure if that was 21.
Yeah, something like that. They're good. Yep. Remember week one, all the panic? Oh, my God, what's wrong with this team? I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, but you can understand it, though. I mean, after the offseason that they had, you probably wanted to get out to a little bit of a hotter start, but they fixed the problem, obviously.
Yeah, but shame on everyone with their hot takes of like...
That's what this whole business is.
That's terrible, though.
I mean, you got Dids. It's Danny. I mean, Danny's going to be the next... Daniel Jones is going to be the next Josh. Like, every day it's something new.
Everybody has something to say. Quarterback that seems to leave a lot to be desired, Baker Mayfield, was not good yesterday. Got injured as well yesterday. Let's take a listen to how he's feeling right now.
First off, how are you feeling? Your arm's in a sling. How bad is it?
Feels like
worse than the first time?
Probably. I'm going to get MRIs and stuff tomorrow, so we'll be able to find out more.
In a sense, if you'll be able to keep playing through this, Baker?
I do.
You will be able to keep playing through it?
Yes.
But is it the same, like a re-aggravation of the injury? Is it something new?
Dislocated again and then slipped out again on a non-contact play, so just got to figure out a way to get better.
That's awful.
It's not going to get better. He's going to have to deal with this the entire season. You saw him on the ground. I mean, he was writhing in pain, kicking his feet around. Like, he's... And I get it's not his throwing shoulder, but still. I mean, having to deal with that. I play with a guy like that. Like, maybe once a game, he would come to the bench and have to get his shoulder pop back in. It would just pop out. It was gross.
That is gross. And no Nick Chubb yesterday. Then Kareem Hunt gets carted off. Just,
they were awful. The two games that I was most looking forward to ended up being bad games.
What, Baltimore, Chargers, and this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awful. And I don't know how closely you watch this game. They came out throwing the football all over the place. Like, they have the best running game in the NFL, and they would not run the football.
Yeah, sometimes, like, watching these games, sometimes some of the decisions with these coaching staffs, like, they try to get, like, overthink themselves and everything else. You're like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, just run the football. It's the best part of your offense, of your team. And now... This is just amazing, and watching them lose must give Jets fans an enjoyment. Jamal Adams, his intro last night on NBC.
Jamal Adams, I'm the best in the nation.
Is he, though? I don't think
so. In coverage, no.
He's bad in coverage.
He is not great in coverage. No, I mean, you saw what he did last season. I mean, he puts pressure on the edges. He's a box safety, and the can get after the quarterback. I mean, that's what he is.
That's what he does. And in that way, he's good. But when it gets beyond that, he's not so good. He is. I'll tell you what. There's no way he's worthy of what they give up for him. No way.
No, but we'll take it. We'll take it. Thank you, Geno Smith. We'll take that.
And you should.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rex, I wish you were happier conversations that we could have, but we do enjoy having you on the show.
Yeah, I know. I'm a regular like Ira is, but I guess there is a positive to take from it. Look, the Jets did not lose this weekend.
There you go.
So that's our positive, I think.
That's our positive. So let me ask you about Joe Judge. I love the Giants. I've been, yelling for years that Gettleman shouldn't have gotten the job, needs to be relieved of his duties, clearly hasn't worked out. I'm beginning to slowly think that this Joe Judge thing is not working out either.
Why do you guys give this guy a pass? That's what I couldn't understand it. Look, I don't get it. You hire a guy that is a special teams guy, and he convinces you that he deals with the entire roster and all that. It's not true. Special team coaches deal with the bottom half of the roster. All right. And those are easy guys to coach because they're trying, they're just happy to be on a football team. It's different than being a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator where you're handling the top end of the roster as well as, you know, the bottom end guys as well. So that's why you don't see that many special team coaches in the league. Now, look, however, they've been some great ones. You know, I recommended John Harbaugh to the Ravens. He's a great football coach. All right. I coached with him in college. I knew, you know, known him for years, and he's different. But some of the guys that are special team guys, man, they don't make it. But either way, you guys wanted to give him a pass last year, and now what do you got? What, one win? Like, come on. And here's the thing that gets me. My biggest problem with this guy, all right, like in this game, specifically this game, Daniel Jones is coming off a concussion. All right, we all saw it, spaghetti legs, the whole deal. Why in the hell are you going on a short yardage play running a quarterback sneak? Where the defense, all you tell your guys to do is tee off on a quarterback. Hit him in the head, like tee off on him. That's what you do. It's a free shot, a legal shot to hit the quarterback. Well, that's exactly what happened in that game. Go, if you can go back, you see that thing. And I don't think anybody made mention of it. But are you kidding me? 7 days ago, the guy had a concussion, and you're going to do that. Like, there's got to be a better play call there. And as a head coach, you're responsible for it. Don't just pass it off on Jason Garrett because you oversee everything. And I got a problem with that, man. Like, take care of your kids. Take care of those players. And I don't know. It just really bothered me. Maybe it's because I'm a Daniel Jones fan, but that really bothered me. And let alone your team never showed up. I mean, let's face it.
And the worst part is you didn't pick it up, Rex. We talked about that to start the show. I was on the radio all last week saying I didn't think that Daniel Jones should even play in this game if he went through concussion protocol. Listen, you can get yourself through concussion protocol. I've had multiple concussions. I could get myself through concussion protocol. But this matchup with all the injuries and everything else was not a good spot for Daniel Jones. And he didn't look great. He didn't. I want to ask you this because we had some sound earlier in the show with Joe Judge post game. And I think Giants fans are getting sick of listening to Joe Judge, but he's talking about, you know, submarines with holes, and I challenged the guys to go out and compete and show me who wanted to fight. The start of that second half, did it look like the Giants defense was out there competing to you?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes, look, this guy, he comes over as a real tough guy, a hard-nosed guy, and all that, and I'm sure he is. But it's not about you. It's about where's your football team? Like, I wanted to be a tough-ass guy, too. And I told you we'd lead the league in rushing. We did. Difference is there was buy-in from the players, and the message was not empty. It wasn't just a bunch of words. His words seemed to be empty to me. And that's a dangerous thing if you're a football coach. And if your message is not getting across, then eventually ownership understands that, too.
He is Rex Ryan with us here on 98.7 ESPN, as he is every single Monday in this very same time slot. Organized Chaos with Bart Scott is the name of the podcast. You can catch it all over the place, anywhere you consume your podcast. So, Rex, does it get better? Does it get worse? I mean, the amazing thing is they're 1-5. We have 11 more games to watch of this team. Is it going to get at all better, or is it just going to get worse down the stretch of the season?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, is Saquon going to be healthy? If Saquon's healthy and Daniel Jones is healthy, you'll have a chance. You know, but if they're not healthy, it's like, golly, it's got to be miserable. You know, look, I coach some really bad teams. There's no question. All right. But at least we compete. At least you're going to be like, all right, hell, they're not going down without a fight. And this team is way too talented. To put in that kind of effort.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing I don't understand. I mean, it's like it's our job to sit on the radio, you on TV, and talk about, you know, the matchup and why the Rams should win and why the Giants probably shouldn't win. But, I mean, at least come out on Sunday and compete and fight. I mean, there are plenty of teams dealing with injuries. I mean, look what New England did against Dallas. Dallas is one of the best teams in the NFC, and they fought them tooth and nail. Like, I just don't get it. Rex, I don't. Like, I've been coached by hard-ass coaches, and in my experience, If you don't have the winning to back up your message, because I'm dealing with you every day, that's, I mean, it's not easy to keep the team invested when you're like that.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do. Look, they'll turn that locker room will turn that your message off. Like as soon as you get up there, they'll turn it off. Like that's what happens, man. I mean, so that's why there has to be some substance to your message. You know, show me how this helps us. And look, there's some really good players, you know, on this Giant team, man. When I look at, you know, the Big Cat Williams, when I look at, you know, Dexter Lawrence, when I look at some different guys over there, Brad Berry, like there's some good players. They're just not playing that good right now. Now, Williams had a great game, but it's like, you know, one guy steps up, one guy goes down. And look, now they've been bit too. This team has been bit with some injuries. You know, obviously when you have Saquon out, you have that Tony looks like he's going to be legit, but he goes out. You know, Ingram's always hurt. You know, that's who he is. Galladay's always hurt. Yet you chose to bring him in. Like, you know, you're going to pay this guy $1 billion because he's going to be a red zone threat? I get it on paper. All right, I get it on paper. But he's always hurt. You know, and so why the hell would you bring that in? You got exactly what you paid for. So don't bitch when the guy's injured. So I don't know. The team obviously frustrates me, and I'm not even a Giant fan. It still frustrates me.
And I am. So imagine the life that I have to lead. So, Rex, how about this? I got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning after watching that. How bad is that for me, huh?
I'm with you.
Yeah, brutal. So, listen, people are done with Gettleman. I don't think there's anybody that wants to hear from him or think that he's going to be back. Judge feels like that's happening as well. How about Patrick Graham? I'm not talking about back or not, but I mean, this is a guy that was the darling of this organization last year, and I think it's fair to say he's done a poor job so far this season.
Yeah, I think that's been the biggest disappointment for me, is that this defense has not showed up the way we thought they would, you know, a top 10 defense. But a lot of it you're going to see with the Giants, with Washington. These teams were overrated defensively based on the fact they were in that horrendous NFC East the year before. No Dak Prescott. Yet, you know, Carson Wentz was awful last year. Like, so those stats probably got elevated a little bit and maybe gave us a false sense of how good this defense really is. And they, I mean, to this point, they haven't played up to where the expectations were, certainly. And Patrick Graham went from a guy that, you know, the media always wants to say, oh, this is a head coach in waiting. Really? You better worry about the job you got.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. Rex, today, at this moment, Monday, October 18th at 7:44, as we stand, who is, in your mind, leading the Defensive Player of the Year category?
Oh, God.
Well, it's got to be Diggs.
Yes!
I mean, you know, it has to be Diggs. You got, I mean, 7 interceptions. You know, you've got, what, 6 games in a row with an interception? I mean, yeah, clearly I think he's the guy that's out there in front for sure.
Rex, I apologize he did that to you. I do, because we went through it on Friday, and I went through the Vegas odds, and Myles Garrett is clearly the overwhelming favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year, and he set you up knowing you'd say Diggs to try to make
it. How did I know he was going to say Diggs? I don't know he's going to say Diggs. He's just smart.
No, I'm sorry that he did that to you, Rex. No problem.
Rex is a football guy that watches these games with his two eyes. He doesn't lean on Vegas for his answers.
Yeah, okay. No, usually I check with Vegas, but yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, I'm just, how do you not give it to the guy? He's got 7 interceptions.
Yeah, he might be the greatest quarterback.
You know, you're on a team that's 5-1, so yeah, I think he's probably earned that.
All right, how about this? Arizona, great win yesterday. Green Bay, another big win. Tampa's rolling along. Buffalo's played really well lately. Who's the best team in the NFL right now?
Yeah, this is a great question, but I mean, until somebody beats Arizona, like Arizona, this was no small feat, man. I mean, look, they go 6-0. You don't have your play caller, you know, your coach isn't there. You're on the road at Cleveland, and you got no Chandler Jones. Yeah, every excuse was lined up there not to perform well. They did just the opposite. And the thing that gets me is this team is physical right now. Like, that's what we haven't seen in the years since Cliff Kingsbury took over. When's the last time they had more rushing attempts than passing attempts? But that's who this team is right now, and that's it's a great formula. And so, to me, you have to take them because they're undefeated. But you know, and then I like Buffalo in the AFC. I think those are the two best teams.
So, Rex, let me ask you. I mean, the two games I was actually looking forward to the most with the Jets and the bye was the game Dave just brought up, the Arizona game, and then the Chargers-Baltimore game. I mean, with all the injuries going on in Baltimore and everything else, the fact that they're doing what they're doing, I mean, do you look at Baltimore as a legitimate threat to win the championship this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, their defense finally showed up. Their defense, this was what we expected, from jump. And they totally whipped the Chargers. They held them to 200 yards of offense. You know, this Justin Herbert's great quarterback, all the great receivers, Austin Eckler, this offense line's doing that. They had 200 yards of offense. And here's the thing. Lamar Jackson, the only thing, we know he's not a pocket passer. Well, he's turning into be one.
Yep.
So that's a bad combination for this league. If Lamar can continue to play the way he's been playing and this defense gets back to playing Raven football, yeah, they're going to be in the conversation for sure.
Rex, it's always a pleasure. We know you have a lot going on. You join us every Monday. We love it. We will certainly take a listen to the podcast, Organize Chaos, and we'll do it again next Monday morning when both the Jets and the Giants have played the day before. So that should be great times for us.
All right, look forward to it, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.